League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Well, let's start first, Tom, with the Mexico roster that has come out. Now, Rafa Márquez has been picked by Juan Carlos Osorio, despite the issues of alleged ties to a drug trafficking organization, which Márquez vehemently denies. The Mexican Federation said, yes, it's okay. So Márquez is going. And I want you not to give me the – I want your personal opinion. Do you believe he should be going in – the place of somebody like Rodolfo Pizarro or a player that can actually help them more on the field? I get the whole leadership thing with Márquez, but is it really that important?
I think it's a difficult question, Glenn. I mean, if you put aside the, you know, obviously these allegations, if you say, okay, let's put those to aside, you know, and ask me that question just based on what you said at the end there, then I'd say yes. I know a lot of people wouldn't agree with me, but you know, just being around this Mexico team for the last few years, you know, Rafa Márquez is such a massive influence. He's kind of almost a half-godly figure. I mean, he's just, you know, he's on like this elevated level compared to the other players. And, you know, when you need someone in the dressing room to kind of to bring everything together, I think Márquez is really important. I'll give you an example, Glenn. After the 7-0 loss against Chile, it was Rafa Márquez who spoke. He was the first one to speak after that game. He didn't even play that game. And he said, you know what, boys, this is on us. This is on the players. This isn't Osorio. Let's not get carried away with anything here. Let's go and stick up for him. And the players followed suit. And in the media afterwards, everybody came out with the same line about, no, this isn't on Osorio. This is on us. So it's stuff like that. And I think that particular event created a bond between Osorio and Rafa Márquez. And so that's why I think he's been picked, and that's why I think on that level it's justified. Now, I'm not sure how much of a role he can play in the World Cup if he starts against Germany, but I think coming off the bench for 20 minutes, if you're holding on to a lead or you need someone to stick into midfield, then I think he can do a job still.
I understand what you're saying. I'm a little bit different on this one. I think Márquez knows he's got to have Osorio to get to the World Cup and do a fifth, right? He wants to be one of three players, Lothar Matthäus, Antonio Carbajal, to play in five World Cups. So he's got to have the manager on his side. And I'm not saying there isn't a genuine nature to his leadership, because we know he is a leader. I'm saying, yes, I think it might be overstated, the whole locker room thing. You have to be on the field. I mean, if you're banking on your leadership to be Rafa Márquez at this World Cup, aren't you a little bit concerned? I mean, what about Andreas Guardado? What about Memo Ochoa? I mean, come on.
I don't think those guys are real leaders in you know, the traditional sense. I think what's happened with the Mexican squad is there are a few leaders. The kind of collective is kind of bigger than the individual. And I think Rafa Márquez is the kind of glues all that together. And when somebody steps out of line, he's just got this authority. And I don't know, you kind of almost have to see it, because he's almost like an elder brother to some of these players. And you know, we heard Carlos Vela the other day saying, you know, I'd give up my place at the World Cup for Rafa Márquez to go. So, is it overstated? Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you, Glenn. I mean, in an ideal world, you know, Mexico right now would have leaders. You know, would have big leaders on the team, and Rafa Márquez at 39 years old wouldn't be near the squad. But the reality is, there isn't. You know what I mean? It's not like there's somebody just hiding away that Osorio can bring out. So, I think in that context, I can just about justify it.
Okay, well, I'll give you the locker room leadership, but there's two types of leadership: on-field leadership and off-field leadership, and somebody better be there to provide the on-field leadership other than Rafa Márquez, or Mexico's going to have problems. Group F, Germany, Sweden, South Korea. Let's talk about the two Dos Santos brothers being put into this squad, and I guess that was expected, although I think there's a little bit of a backlash from some Mexico fans that somebody like Rodolfo Pizarro does not go, and the two Dos Santos brothers are on the list right now. Is that kind of because of an anti-MLS sentiment?
I think it definitely feeds into it, but I think it's not with Jonathan Dos Santos either. It's more Giovanni. I mean, Giovanni, I think in a lot of Mexico people's eyes, you know, when he burst onto the scene, he was going to become the best Mexican player ever. I mean, that's what he was kind of billed on. You know, after winning the Under 17 World Cup in 2005. And then, you know, obviously he bounced around Europe. He showed glimpses of what he could become. And then he went to MLS. And okay, he started well in MLS, but, you know, last year was just not good for him at all. I mean, I think most people in Mexico, to be honest, don't watch MLS. And then they're watching Chivas every week, and they see Rodolfo Pizarro. You know, he's a talented player. And obviously, I think there's definitely a sentiment that, you know, Pizarro should have got that chance, and maybe at the expense of Giovanni Dos Santos. But I think, I don't think a lot of people understand, you know, where Osorio's come in with those kind of things in terms of, you know, they're basically Giovanni's left foot, Pizarro's right footed, and Osorio's kind of probably doesn't see them in the same position necessarily. So, yeah, I think it is probably the biggest issue in this Mexico squad, the 28-player squad that Osorio announced. But let's put it into context. I mean, you know, 2006, Ricardo La Volpe left out Cuauhtémoc Blanco. I mean, that was a big
news. Yeah, that's a great one to remind us of. Wow, I forgot about that one, Tom.
Yeah, and I mean, I just think, you know, if this is the biggest story to the Mexican press, you know, Pizarro not being there, then, you know, and it probably says that the squad, more or less how people think it should be, to be honest.
But what could turn into a big story, and we're talking to Tom Marshall of ESPN FC, is if one of the Dos Santos brothers goes and the other doesn't, because we remember how that went the last time, right?
Yeah.
Could that be something that drives a wedge between this team?
Well, I mean, it would be an issue, and not just with those, but also with Bella as well, because all three of them are tied. You know, but, you know, going back to the first question, that's where someone like Rafa Márquez would come in and say, listen, stop messing around. This is a World Cup. It's just because your brother's not here doesn't mean you can't play. So, and I think now the brothers are old enough and they accept it. I mean, I don't think there's anything they could do. But I think Osorio, one of the things with Giovanni Dos Santos especially, he's all through the criticism last year in 2017 of Giovanni Dos Santos, Osorio stood by it. You know, and he's backed him up, and he's said really, really positive things about him. And I think one of the things that Osorio is really keen to kind of maintain in this squad, and I think it's possibly Mexico's biggest asset going into this World Cup, is the unity in the group, is the team spirit. I think it's absolutely exceptional right now in Mexico. And I think Giovanni Dos Santos is part of that. And I think Osorio, obviously, is picking players based on what they do on the field, but it's also off the field and what, you know, the chemistry was in the squad. And I think that's where Giovanni's got a big advantage, especially over someone like Pizarro. And that's why, to be honest, I expect Giovanni to, you know, pretty certain he's going to be in that 23, whatever happens, unless he's injured.
Yeah, I think they're all going, because I think Osorio wants to, he wants to certainly avoid, and it's not that they're not very good soccer players either, but I think he wants to avoid any controversy. I think Rafa Márquez is a star that he wants on his side. Rafa needs Osorio as well to get to a fifth World Cup, and also to be a guy that can help him drive points home that you've so aptly brought out here. So yeah. I think they're all going. It's Tom Marshall, ESPN FC, and he'll be going to Russia. By the way, Tom, you had some time getting your passport and all your paperwork ready. You're kind enough to be doing this after going to Mexico City and spending a couple of days getting all your paperwork in order before heading over to Russia.
Oh, yeah. I had to make a quick trip from Guadalajara to Mexico City for the visa. But I think it's going to be worth it, Glenn, to be honest.
Yeah, I think it is, too. And I know you're going to provide some incredible coverage from over there, and hopefully we can maybe get you on the phone from over there at a point or two. Let's shift it into the group that Mexico's in with Germany, Sweden, South Korea. I'm hearing people say that Germany and Sweden are going to pit Mexico.
I mean, you know, I think obviously you've got Germany who are head and shoulders above all the rest of the teams in that group. I'd put Mexico right now second best. Obviously, that doesn't mean they're going to go through. And I do think it's going to be between Mexico and Sweden. I think, you know, Mexico, in that game against Sweden, it's almost a banana skin, really, because the Swedish style is obviously, you know, really play a really tight game, restrict space, and Mexico, traditionally, over the last few years, definitely have struggled a little bit with that. I'm sure Osorio, I think it's going to be a really interesting game tactically, because I'm sure Osorio's got some tricks up his sleeve for that one, because he knows what type of game it's going to be like. And I think someone like Marco Fabian, who's good at shooting from distance, I think someone like him might be very useful in that game. And I do think it's going to come down to that game, because you look at it and it's difficult against Germany. Well, it'll be difficult for every team against Germany. I think Mexico are a better team than Korea, and I think stylistically, Mexico can get the better of them. And then it's that Sweden game that it's like, can Mexico, break Sweden down? Can Mexico, stand up and to the set piece prowess of the Swedish team and the counter attacking? And I think that's the crucial game for Mexico in the group stage.
Yeah, we saw what Sweden did to Italy. They got that 1-0 aggregate win there. They have some fighting spirit. Obviously, they're gonna try to get closer to the Mexican player and allow them little time and break their rhythm. So I think you're right. That could turn out to be a big tactical battle. All right, Javier Chicharito Hernandez, is he still a star of the Mexican national team? Is he going to score goals at the World Cup?
I'd say he's still the star. I'd say the rising star is no doubt about it, Irving Lozano. That's a lot of people very excited about what he could do at the World Cup. So, he's definitely a player to look out for. He's just got a new agent. He's got the same agent now as Zlatan. So somebody there, particularly the agent, thinks that there's a big move around the corner. Irving Lozano's battling it out there with Chicharito. And for me, Chicharito, this is his time. It's his World Cup. I think he knows that. I think he's in a good place, despite not playing a lot recently for West Ham, despite not scoring a lot of goals this year. I just think he's going to be 30 by the time the tournament starts. And I think there's a level of maturity with Chicharito. And, people often forget, but this is the first World Cup that he's gone into as the starting striker. Because in 2010, you had Guillermo Franco, which was incredible. And then 2014, Oribe Peralta. And I remember speaking to people in Europe and stuff, and they just couldn't believe in 2014 that Hernandez wasn't the starting striker. So I think Chicharito's really well placed to do well at this World Cup. And he clearly loves Osorio, and he's clearly happy within the system. And I'd put some bets on him, hoping the scoring in a couple of games, though.
Tom Marshall, ESPN FC. All right, for Chicharito to be successful, though, he's got to have a good wide game around him. Tell me about the guys that are going to provide the wide game for him in the World Cup.
Yeah, I mean, Lozano on one side, obviously full of confidence right now after that season with PSV. And then I think on the other wing, it's going to be Carlos Vela or Decapito Corona, probably Vela. But I think, honestly, it's not even those guys. I think two of the key players for Chicharito are, if you look over the Osorio reign, the players with most assists, actually it's Hector Herrera, the midfielder, and Miguel Layún. Miguel Layún almost overlapping down the wing, obviously a fullback.
Yeah, he's a big piece of
really
it.
High forward. And a lot of Mexico's goals come through one of those two channels. So, the other issue, Glenn, right now, and I think Mexico have to be really, I think everybody's got their fingers crossed here in Mexico, is that there's been so many injuries. And I think the players are going to make the World Cup, Andres Guardado, Araujo, Diego Reyes. But I mean, at the end of the day, there's a lot of nervousness around right now because of these injuries. And Mexico, with the depth they've got, can't really afford an injury to somebody like Herrera. It'd just be a massive blow to the national team right now.
I think there's some pressure on Mexico making sure that that wide game is hitting all cylinders in this World Cup in order to get the best out of Chicharito. Let me take you to tomorrow night, Santos and Toluca, then the return matches at Toluca against Santos. Who are you picking in this and why?
It's a really difficult
one.
You have to go Toluca. I think you have to go Toluca over two legs. The closing out at home, they've been an absolute dominant side this season. Not just in the regular season, and they found a way in the playoffs. The stadium's it's a small stadium, but the crowd's so close to the pitch. And in the semi-final, they really got it behind the team, drove them to reach the final. So I'm going to Luca. Ruben Sambuesa, discarded by America about a little over a year ago, and all of a sudden he's, for me, possibly the player of the season this year in Liga MX. Just an absolute, just amazing at finding space and picking passes. So I'm just about going for Luca for that one.
He's a star that's still he's still beating at 34 years of age. And I always love when there's like a rebirth or you know, that one last gasp from a great older player like Sambuesa. Tell me about what he has done as a star for Toluca and how it's emanated throughout the team.
No, I mean, you know, plays on the right wing, cuts into his left, he's a left-footed player, cuts in from the right wing. It, for me, it's the way you just kind of find space. I mean, he just kind of, if there's a space in your defense, he'll pick it out, you know what I mean? You know, he'll play off the fullback a little bit, move him, you know, pull midfielders out of position. He's just such an intelligent player. And obviously, he's always on the edge. I mean, this is a guy, you know, he can get sent off himself, but he can also get other players sent off. He got Miller Bolaños sent off in the semi-final. He winds people up. He's kind of got the, you know, he's a master of the dark arts as well of the game. And honestly, going for me, Sambuesa, if he had a slightly different mentality in terms of, you know, that, I think he steps over the line too much, over the limit, sorry. I think he could have played in the Premier League or Spain at a really good level because technically he's brilliant. He's got so much to his game that, you know, he's obviously had a very good career first at River Plate and obviously in Mexico with America and now Toluca. But for me, he's a player that, I mean, obviously he's a bit old now at 34, but talent-wise, he could have gone to a lot higher in the you know, for me, like I said, the Premier League or La Liga.
Creative, unpredictable, breaks down lines, can disorganize teams with a good team shape, certainly as a diver as well. I don't think we have to mince any words right there, but I think he is. And all of this, though, makes him somebody that people want to watch. So they're saying, and Tom is saying, he's given Toluca the edge over Santos. It begins tomorrow night, the Liga MX final. It's going to be a good one. Tom, as always, thank you very much for coming on the program. We look forward to talking to you, hopefully one more time before you head off to Russia. And as always, thank you for your knowledge.
No, thanks for the invite, Glenn. Much appreciated.
All right. He's the one and only Tom Marshall of ESPN FC, and there's no better man to get you up on the Mexican national team and Liga MX.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper. Distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.